First, let me check and see if everybody can hear me. If you can't hear me, raise your hand. All right. Somebody caught on the balcony. I think after the hurricane, this microphone has got a hiss in it. Is that right? But I still am wondering if folks can hear me through this microphone on a regular basis okay. I've now gotten to the point where I've printed up copies in bigger print than usual, so if folks aren't being able to keep up with my crazy volume or whatever, that we've got a chance for them to understand the sermon. Let us know what we can do to make it easier for you to understand what's going on. We'll see how that goes. I get the privilege this morning to announce that Sally Jowers is going to come on board as our new coordinator of youth ministries. She has snuck into the back row back there. Stand up, Sally. Some of you may recognize her from I don't know how long ago. Sally's been here a long time. She's one of the few folks that's done youth ministry with both Emily and Sarah. So we're delighted to have you on board, and you now are required to come and sit in the back row at church. It's just the way it works. Let's see. What else do I have that I got to make sure I say? I think those were it. Talk about the sound. At the end of the sermon, we're going to play a little video as we remember we continue to celebrate Gil Juarez's connection here with us. But in the meantime, let me move to the sermon. You noticed that I slipped in this little comment about if you want, you're invited once again to read the entire letter of Galatians. Did anybody do that in the last couple of months? No, I got two. Thank you. Patty did. Tony, did you? You did not finish it. He started it, but he noticed that I kept adding other ones each week, and so he thought. This morning, we're continuing our sermon series on community, on what were those three? Hick. Healthy, intimate, covenant, community. There will be a test on this. It will be on the final. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to bring a sermon that's four times as long. And if you can't get those three things, then I'm going to just keep preaching. Community is not living the same kind of life as somebody next to you. It is being connected to the same Lord. Have you experienced different kind of community with different kinds of groups either throughout the course of your life or at this moment? Are you experiencing different kinds of community with different folks? I know the answer is yes. Now we're going to get a couple of examples. Guy, you raised your hand. What do you got? The hospitality house community. Beautiful. It's a different kind of group. And intimate is a key piece of that. Anybody else? A different kind of community than the hospitality house? Dan? Readers are leaders, which is male adults and male young men who are between second grade and 10th? What? K through 3. And they're essentially teaching the young, or catching them up most of the time. It's specifically reading, but it's trying to make sure they're caught up and they're at grade level. So at third grade, they can pass the tests. All right, I know you guys are in different kinds of... Is that Martha? All I see is silhouette. That's neat. 19 programs work together at Derbyshire Place. Wow. I'm not quite done yet. Yep. Guardian Ad Litem. Hot Meals. PEO. High school mentoring, the boutique clearly, and we understand what that community, I mean, when I arrived, folks were, I was told, now the Wednesday afternoon group, they always meet for this, or the Tuesday group, they all go together, they do things together. Do any of you, like, go out to eat Sunday afternoons together? What other kinds of odd communities are you part of? Book clubs? Grief support. Lions Club? I got Lions. Do I hear Rotary? Do I hear Kiwanis? Ocean View community. There are a variety. What? Emmaus community. How many of you are part of the Emmaus community? Well, when I was at Palm Coast, I went to the Emmaus. It turns out it was the Sunrise Emmaus. So I went, I think it was number 9. It was pretty early in the community. That's a powerful sense of community. And for me, no matter how long I'm not connected to it, I always feel connected to it. Card-making ministry. All right, so now tell me some that are outside the church where you feel really connected to a group of folks. You talk to them every day? Could everybody hear that? One of the young men at Saluti Paz, she talks to him on Facebook every day. He's in college, and he's about to graduate, and he hasn't ever missed a day of school. Because of Saluti Paz, his family is going from $30 a month income to $200 a month income. What? $250. I'm doing the best I can. That's powerful. I know that some of you are part of other clubs here. I know that I've got a yacht club and an anchor club and some other folks that are part of different groups. And there's a different sense of community in different places. The level of intimacy at Hospitality House is not something we're going to replicate at the boutique. You just can't in the kind of form, the way you're working together. And sometimes you have great community in a very short period of time. When you go on a mission trip together, you spend every waking moment, and it's an amazing building of community. If you go to summer camp, how many of you went to summer camp growing up? By the time Thursday comes, you're starting to worry about the fact you're going to leave each other and not be able to be connected. Nowadays with cell phones, it's not the same. We used to exchange addresses and then never send them letters. Teams have different kinds of community. The military groups have different kinds of community. You get different kind of community in small towns or large towns or particular pubs in particular places in the world. Different churches, different clubs. Different clubs are the same clubs in different places. Different sets of friends, workplaces. Some workplaces have a sense of community. Sometimes when you're able to hang out with just women, the community is different. There are different kinds of community. I put on my list camp, church, bookstore, and mission trips. For me, those are places where I can tell you I had very unique and different from each other experiences of community. The letter to the Galatians. Paul is writing back to churches in a region of Asia Minor we now would call Turkey. On an earlier missionary journey, that we don't believe that Paul was trying to go to these churches, that he just ended up in these churches because he had an illness and they ended up taking care of him. Scholars are guessing that it was some kind of eye illness, but he was... He ended up having this intimate hospitality experience with the people in Galatia. They provided extraordinary hospitality. And years later, in the time period we believe that's about 51 or 52 AD, those churches had a different teacher come into town and teach them a different way. The scholars refer to those folks as Judaizers. I know you don't, that's not going to be on the test. But essentially, it's teachers from the early church who came in and said, first, in order to be a Christian, you have to be Jewish. So you got to go through all these steps before you can do this. You couldn't be a true Christian unless you had been a true Jew. And you can understand why the folks in the community in Jerusalem might have felt that way. That's how they all experienced coming to Christ. It meant that they would have to follow the same dietary laws, and once again, we get to speak fondly of circumcision. One of my favorite subjects from the pulpit. When Paul hears what's happening there, Paul is livid. And he sits down and writes this letter. You'll notice at the beginning of Galatians, there's not the normal, hey, how's everybody doing? I miss you. He starts going right at it, right away. Now, we don't live in that era, in that place, but I think there's value for us, especially as we talk about community. You see, Paul didn't ask the people of Galatia to become someone they weren't. He didn't say, you have to be Jews first. He didn't say, you have to do church like I do church. He didn't say, you have to do church like those other churches I've been a part of do church. Instead, Paul encourages them to hear the word of God in Christ Jesus in a way that uses their culture to further connect them to God. To be fair, this is not something I was aware of in my studies in seminary. If it weren't for a Bible study that we were doing here, I'd have never known this. I'm still learning new things, but I didn't realize that the Galatians were really Celts. In that day and age, in Asia Minor, the population of Turkey was Celts. Mostly, I think of the Celtic culture in Northern Europe. Is that just me, or were you guys on the same lost page as I was? So let me use the example of the Celtic cross. Does anybody know what the Celtic cross looks like? It's a cross with a circle, and you've seen them before. And if you go to enough of the right countries, you see them in every tomb has got a Celtic cross on it. You see, the early religious tradition of the Celts was they worshiped the sun. And rather than tell them to stop worshiping the sun, they incorporated the sun in the cross, and they pulled together the two traditions to make one that worked for them. The old Celtic cultural religious expression merges with the cross. And Paul says, who you have been is okay. Now, connect to Christ. So we have on one side these Judaizer Christian teachers coming and saying, you've got to give up your ethnicity, you've got to become like us, original Christians, in order for you to be a fully Christian, a real Christian. And Paul, and only Paul can say this, because Paul was a devout, law-keeping Jew, had been transformed on the road to Damascus. He brings that transformation. He brings his life experience to bear specifically in this situation. He says, no, it is not about following the law as defined in the Old Testament that makes you part of a Christian body of Christ. It is your connection to Christ that makes you a part of the body. Paul uses and exploits his history as past experience in order to reinforce his authority to say these things. In chapter 1, verse 13, he says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age. I was really good at this. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who was set apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach among the Gentiles. I did not confer with flesh and blood. I did not go to Jerusalem and ask permission from the 12 apostles. I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. The connection is Christ, not culture. Chapter 2, starting in verse 15. We ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. I don't know why they put it that way. If you know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith. In order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified. I'm sorry, but keeping rules doesn't save you. This, for me, the ultimate statement of community in Galatians is chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were to the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Bam! If it's about rules, then we don't need a cross. I know that makes you a little uneasy, because we really like it when folks follow some of the rules. I'm not trying to throw out all the rules. I'm trying to remind you which is the important part. The important part: connection to Christ, a crucified God. I love that Paul comes around and sounds almost like Jesus when he says in 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so if there's a rule that you're supposed to keep, choose that one. Remember, Galatians is the one that lists the works of the flesh and the gifts of the Spirit. So Paul is trying to say, if we're lost in these kind of places, it's not healthy community. And if we're doing these kind of things, then we're leaning into healthy, intimate, covenant community. Paul says, let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, that he is something, or that he is nothing, he deceives himself. Must have typed that in wrong. Chapter 6, verse 14, but far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. That kind of work doesn't matter. And then he says, what does? New creation. Part of the culture and the spiritual life of the Celts included this sense that one must do something and not just saying it. Saying it didn't mean much unless you acted on it. Saying it didn't make it real. And so when Paul is speaking to the Celts, the way they experienced the love of Christ was to do the love of Christ. So doing love, not just saying love, was a key part of that community's culture. One of the things that looks to us like it's not that big a deal, but was a really big deal in that era, was the culture shift that Christians brought into many different communities. Christians, unlike anybody else in their community in Galatia, shared a common table for meals. If you weren't from the same economic class, you didn't eat at the same table. If you weren't from the same gender, you didn't eat at the same table. If you weren't from the same culture, you didn't eat at the same table. And so when Christians from outside of Galatia, men and women are sitting down and sharing a common meal, it was saying something about community. It was very unique for that time. It's not so unique for us, but I would be amiss if I didn't teach that. I can assure you that the next generations of church will take parts of their life experience that has meaning and carve out a new sense of community. Church changes in different places, in different times. Galatians proves that community looks different in different places and contexts, that community looks different to different generations. As much as we would love for folks to join us here and validate our understanding of community, it's a pretty self-oriented perspective. We have to let different generations experience God afresh. What makes us connected is not that they stand up and sit down the same way we do, but that they're connected to Christ. Once we declare, in terms of community, that one size does not fit all, then we have to begin to ask more clearly of each other, what does community mean to you? So I ask of you to ponder over the next couple of weeks, what does community mean to you? Christian community. Next week, we're going to talk about unity in the midst of diversity. That should be interesting. Remember what I said this morning. If there's only one thing you remember, it's in terms of community, one size does not fit all.